Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today, this weekend. Oh my gosh, there is so much going on. I mean, I keep in mind some of the things I'm going to share today. I am recording this on Thursday, and by the time you hear it, some will hear it tonight, some tomorrow morning, some on Saturday morning. So some of what I share may be outdated. It may be eclipsed. And you know the story we're talking about, dealing with the death of Charlie Kirk. So just to let you know, if you're hearing this later, you're going to say, well, that's old news. It's not old right now, and it may be outdated by the time you hear it. In some respects, I certainly hope that it is. But I'm just going to, you know, in this program today, if it's a matter of remembering 9/11, Charlie Kirk's assassination, the tranny shooter at the Catholic school, actually multiple killings of white women, particularly blondes, by black thugs, just going to say what it is. All I can say is I can't keep up with the violence. All of the violence and the murder of Charlie Kirk. More on this a little bit later. I did promise you that I would start with good news, and I have to try to keep that, and it's going to be brief, except to say that in our little town of Wickenburg, Arizona, where everybody is packing, everybody has a gun. I'm thrilled about that. There are a couple of days a year where there's a major display of flags. Memorial Day, 4th of July, certainly, 9/11 commemoration, and then which happens every year. But in our little town, I have never, on a previous 9/11, not celebration, but honoring those who died, whether any previous 4th of July, any previous Memorial Day, I have never, ever seen so many flags as are flying, which certainly includes honoring Charlie Kirk on top of everything else. But why, just look at all the violence in the world. There's a passage from Genesis where God says, you know, the earth is filled with violence, and that's why he's coming up to destroy it. But it doesn't say just that. That's all I ever read when I read it, and I've read that passage a gazillion times. But it also references all the corruption and violence. I never paid any attention to the word corruption. Why? Because I never thought it was that bad. I never thought we had that much until we have now continued to unravel the depths of depravity of the Democrat administration and Democrats in general. Children of Satan, who's the father of lies. Oh, if he's the father of lies, who are the kids? Wow. Well, okay. The flags, that's good news. Trump has stated that he's going to posthumously award Charlie Kirk with a Presidential Medal of Freedom. He absolutely deserves it. Good news out of Louisiana. They will very soon not have one single abortion clinic in the entire state. That's right. Sorry, you Cajuns. You're going to have to go to California. And maybe you can get Gavin Newsom to pay your way. Because he's into abortion tourism. We know that. That's where you have to go. But Louisiana, you've done the right thing. Not a single abortion clinic in the state. And I'm not sure that there is one in Mississippi anymore. So they can't go east to murder their unborn children. I'm not sure they can go north. There might be one in Arkansas. And, of course, you know the word on Texas. So that's good news. Another piece of good news, this is the first time in a long time, American-born workers have gained over the last 3 million jobs over the last year. And the number of foreign-born workers has reduced by 1 million. That's known as keeping your promises. Thank you, Mr. Donald Trump. You are a godsend. And then the last little piece of good news, sort of, kind of, before we get to the topic of the day. We're down to only 12 teams that don't support queer athletics, queer this, queer that, LGBTQ, UVWXYZ, genital, genital mutilation, sodomy, the whole nine yards. We're down to only 12 NFL teams. So I'm sort of shifting my allegiance. I'm from Michigan, a Lion fan. But they're not on the list. They happen to be a lot of teams that are in very, very blue cities. The ones that do not post any pride crapola in their social media, out of 32 teams, we're down to, I think, 12 here. Jets, Ravens, Bengals, Browns, Steelers, Colts, Titans, Chiefs, Raiders, Cowboys, Seahawks, and the Saints. So I read that out there so maybe you can find a new favorite team. Last, on the good news thing, this is huge. The Trump administration is seeking to ban drug ads on television. This is a fabulous idea. If you can get rid of the drug ads, then you can get rid of the degree to which all the media companies are beholden to the drug companies, Pfizer, Eli Lilly, what have you, beholden to them for the advertising dollars, which ends up stifling what the media can say about anything and everything, including the COVID-19 shots. So you turn on the TV and they advertise some new drug. La 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 lupa kuka mama. Okay, what's la 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 kuka kuka mama? I don't know what it is. They make these stupid names up. And ask your doctor if you need this. No, go to your doctor, tell them what you're suffering from, and the doctor will tell you whether you need it. So don't self-diagnose and then run to the doctor just so you can get a prescription for something you saw in some stupid TV ad. I think this is great news. My wife was writing down the names of all the new drugs about 6 months ago that she saw on TV. And she only watches a couple of channels. And I think she was up to 46, and she just said, like, I've had it. I've quit. There's so many. They're just coming out with one after another. I mean, what, we're 6% of the population of the world is the U.S., and we consume something like 60% of prescription drugs. We are a drugged country, which incidentally actually aligns with Communist Manifesto intentions to get us hooked on things that are bad and evil. Okay, on to Charlie Kirk. I want to start with this comment that I think this is at about a 50,000-foot level. But you see what is happening. I don't know if we're going to get to it today, where this savage, brutal, ridiculous murder of this black thug on the train in Charlotte, killing, I can't think of her name now, I can't remember, it's Ukrainian. I've got it in my stack of stuff. I don't have it in front of me here. And this guy just stabs or slits her throat while, guess what? Four black people sit and watch. That's interesting. Because there is a war on whites. I don't think we're going to get that today because I think it's going to require an entire program where you'll be shocked as I pull out the evidence. I don't just have a sense we're not going to get past Charlie today, and maybe we should not. Maybe this is Charlie Day on the TV or on the radio. But this is the overriding 50,000-foot point. since I'm recording this late on the September 11th. September 11th was a horrific situation where we were attacked by an enemy from outside, from without. What has changed in the 24 years? Now we not only have enemies from without who work surreptitiously, but our biggest enemies are within. They are within. They are among us. You know that I've said for a long time we are headed for secession and, for sure, and in all probability, civil war. I'm still on that. I still think we're headed for civil war. That's another program about being armed, being ready. And especially if you're going to be an attractive white blonde woman on a train, there's another reason to be packing. That's not the only blonde that got killed by, honestly, a black thug who looks like a twin of DeCarlos Brown, who savagely shred this woman of her life and the media covered it. I find myself wanting to get into that topic. Maybe we will. So the enemy now is within. But to Charlie Kirk's credit on so many points, he has brought to college age students an opportunity to discuss issues, to see the injustices that have occurred. His death absolutely will not be in vain. He did his job, and I will just simply predict that his exit will multiply the ranks of the committed to carry on the work that he started. It'll pass on to yet another generation. He was 31, but he was addressing 21s down to 17, 18-year-olds in college. At least a half a generation, inspiring him. He is credited with giving Donald Trump the victory. Why? Because of the significant shift in voting from a Democrat to Republican among youth, college, and those who, in some cases, chose wisely not to go to college. So, there's a passage from Genesis I'd like to bring out here where Joseph says to his brothers who sold him into slavery, he said that what the enemy intended for evil, God will use for good. And this is what I'm trusting will come out of the Charlie Kirk murder. That Turning Point USA will continue with, 300 chapters and campuses around the United States? Turning Point USA, this whole event will in fact be a turning point for the USA. From the youth, the college-age students. Because of the price he paid, they will be inspired by somebody who's ready, who lived and spoke and believed in what he did and speak enough to be willing to die for it. You know, I can't remember the name of the, 17th century theologian in Scotland. I didn't prepare this part. I've been some years before I mentioned it. But he was, he became quite a passionate preacher and part of a revival in the UK. But what was it that moved him as a young man, a very young man? It was his witnessing the execution by hanging of a preacher, whose name I also don't recall. But he hung for his faith. He believed so passionately in what he was preaching and for the kingdom of God and the truth of the word of God, that it rattled the powers that be, that rattled the UK deep state of the 17th century, who by this man's every word were convicted of their sin, and they had to kill him. And this young man who I wish, gosh, wish I remember his name, I wish I'd prepared for this, but all you need to hear is the fact that he committed his life to the Lord and to a life of absolute devotion to the Word of God, unbridled teaching for the uncompromised Word of God, because of what he saw happen to that man in his death. He said, look, if this man is willing to die for what he believes, then what he believes must be true. And if it's true, why am I not taking it in? Why am I not receiving it and accepting it? And that man did, and he went on to be a great preacher into the, I think, early 18th century, if I'm not mistaken. So what I'm hoping that the whole name Turning Point USA, while it was conceived in Charlie Kirk's mind as a means by which to turn the youth towards truth, towards common sense. He wasn't a preacher. He just engaged in dialogue. But that his naming of the organization, yes, it accurately described what he wanted to do in the then and now. But little did he realize that the naming of the organization actually may have been a prophetic statement. That's right, a prophetic statement of what Turning Point USA would actually become and what would cause the USA to turn and what would be the point that would cause it to turn. His death. My goodness. I get goosebumps thinking about this. So I heard one person say, and it really is well put. I can't think of her name. I think it was Sage Steele, who might have been quoting somebody else. I've absorbed so much of this, I can't keep him straight. But she said something to the effect that Charlie Kirk's death is what will give birth to a million Charlie Kirks. I thought, wow, his death will be what will give birth to a million Charlie Kirks. Now, yes, we're supposed to do the works of Jesus, speak the words of the Lord, and so forth. None of us are Jesus, but that is the image of him into which we are supposed to be progressing, right? Isn't that what Scripture says? It does say that. That should be our goal, become more and more like him. But in an analogous sense, the death of one man, Jesus, and the blood he shed, and Charlie Kirk shed a ton of blood, was what gave birth to millions of believers believing in what Jesus did and in the role and purpose of that shed blood. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And so maybe it's a strained analogy, but I don't think so. I really don't. That his passing, the shedding of his blood by one man, kind of like Jesus, is going to give birth, not in a spiritual sense, because Charlie's obviously not the Savior. It's an analogy, but will give birth to the movement of turning the USA back to God. And the turning point, which was never, I don't think, ever conceived in his mind, that turning point was his death. Just like the turning point with Jesus was his death, and then, of course, his resurrection. So I look at, some of the Democratic statements on the air, and it's disgusting. I can't even believe it. But the left has been all about, what, saving democracy, right? Save democracy, save democracy. Well, their attempt to save democracy means to execute every influential person with whom they disagree. They believe in free speech for themselves, but not anybody else that would convict them of their sin or their wrongdoing. Those are the ones just like that got convicted of their sin by Stephen, Apostle Stephen. They foamed at the mouth and raged and gnashed their teeth and ran down and killed them, stoned them, because they couldn't handle it. So you see, you can't extinguish the truth, but you can extinguish the person who's speaking the truth. And you think that you have gotten after that person. You won't accept that. You know, it's like throwing water on an oil-based fire. I mean, you can't put it out. It spreads it. Persecution spread the church in the first century, spread the gospel. But this is what the left does. They think that if they can kill the messenger, they can kill the message. Little do they know that in the dying moments or in the very death of that messenger, that message gets passed on to others waiting in the ranks. They don't know they're waiting. But when that death occurs, they then realize, you know what? Our time has come. We're no longer boys and girls. It's time to step up. We've been promoted. We're stepping forward into a new rank to fulfill the shoes of those who have fallen, to stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. Wow. You know, I mean, what does a Christian do? The Christian proclaims truth through words. We proclaim truth through words, be that spoken or written, in exercise of our First Amendment rights. We proclaim truth. The left fights against the truth with what we now know to be bullets. All they can do, finding out that with like the election of Trump, you can't actually suppress what you got away with under Joey No Brains Corn Pop Biden or Kamala Harris or Barack Hussein Obama. Nope. The truth has a way of just leaking out. It gets out there. Scripture says to expose the works of darkness. Well, why would the Lord tell us to expose the works of darkness if we couldn't do it, if we didn't have the means of doing it? It blows me away, all the things that are continuously to this day uncovered by the present administration. How deep the deep state really was, how dark the dark state really is and was, and we have not, I don't think, actually plumbed the depths of it. I don't think we're to the bottom of it. So as a matter of exercising rights, we speak with words. In defiance of our rights, the left has no choice but to kill us. It's why I'm convinced the war is coming. Satan knows his time is short. The left are just a pack of animated weenies by the devil. And that's who our real battle is against, right? Not flesh and blood. We war against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. But those are his minions. The hounds of hell right now are really occupying pretty much the Democrat side of the political aisle. It's just the way that it is. There's always going to be an enemy. Satan doesn't quit until he ends up in the lake of fire. Forever and ever and ever and ever. Glory, hallelujah. But until then, we continue on. And I have to make a confession here. When this news came out, my initial response was rage. I was so distraught. I wept. I mean, it was sorrow, it was rage, it was anger, it was all the emotions that, I don't know, obviously Jesus could identify with him. It says that he was, You know, he experienced everything that we had from an emotional standpoint. Rage, yeah. He threw those Pharisaical jokesters out of the temple, and he was ticked. Got a bullwhip out, went after him. He got ticked. I go to that passage whenever I think I'm concerned if my rage has gone over the edge. I try to think, no, I'm just doing what Jesus did. Well, that's what I try to convince myself of. But what we see, whether it's all these deaths that have occurred, the left is a death cult. It absolutely is. Like I said, the devil animates his earthly minions. And it's when they can no longer handle the truth. And on top of the truth, when they can no longer handle the conviction, then comes out the left-wing death squad because it's all they have left. They go to death mode. Doesn't say Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. I mean, you look at it, you got two attempts to kill Donald Trump. You got the Family Research Council guy that went in the left wing, guy wanted to bomb that Washington, D.C. You have the Steve Scalise shooting, and then we got the Charlie Kirk assassination. They flip a switch. They had no option, other option. They go nuclear. And, of course, you got Biden and Harris and Newsom and all those guys saying, well, you know, this is really bad, when in reality it's been their rhetoric that's facilitated this. As far as I'm concerned, if the shooter is still alive and they try him, they should also try Biden, Harris, Newsom, and a few other scumbags for aiding and abetting the murder of Charlie Kirk. It isn't free speech to say what they said about Trump, about MAGA, about Republicans, about conservatives, and Obama, about Christians. They're complicit. And there is nothing on the right that even remotely compares to what the left is doing and has been doing. You see, so, I mean, the options here tend to be rather harrowing and narrowing. At least one of them's harrowing. But there seems to be either that for this country to survive, we certainly have to have a restoration through revival, or there is some bloodletting that is required to deal with the sins that we have accommodated. It should be civil war. I mean, consider the first civil war. I'm not advocating for it. Consider the first one. We had the sins of slavery and abuse of the black population. And there were other things besides that. But that was certainly a part of it. And could it get resolved politically? No. Did the sides divide even more? Yes. Did you have within families one brother that would fight for the South and one fight for the North? Absolutely. Families were divided. States were divided. Communities were divided. Churches were divided. And a nation or a city divided against itself can't stand. And because the sin wasn't dealt with, then God dealt with it another way. And that is the permitting of the Civil War. The national disgrace, the national sin, because it wasn't resolved through an enormous revival and repentance, was resolved through the shedding of blood. That's where we are. That is where we are. And I should add that actually during the Civil War, well, you know what? I'll save that comment. I'm running out of space here. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Well, I think my dog's a Democrat. And it breaks my heart to have to say an ugly thing like that. But there's a big old pile of evidence that all points towards the fact my dog might be a Democrat.
Well, you know, for those of you, that have listened to this program long enough, you know that the music that follows the solicitation is not typically accidental. There's sometimes I just want to hear a particular song. But they usually are there for a particular reason, and you can figure out what that reason is. So, if you look at the reaction from the left on this, and you know what? I guess before I go any further, I should get out at least the good news that I have as of about an hour ago. It may be dated. It may be eclipsed. Probably is. But that the FBI says that Charlie Kirk's assassin's rifle has been recovered. They said they have some pictures of the suspect. He's of college age. I don't know how they appears to be of college age. They said that he would tend to fit in easily with a community of students. Now, that's a very mysterious statement, because what it seems to say is we think he's white. This particular university is overwhelmingly white. There's a lot of Mormons. I don't know if that's what they're saying or not. And what I'm saying right now may be quickly eclipsed here in the hours and a couple days ahead. So they, but a couple of things as a comment. I have not heard this on the air yet, but it's a bolt action 30-06. Yes, that rifle is enough to do the damage it did from the distance from which it was shot. But the reason I bring that up is because the left, reflexively, knee-jerk reaction, he is not dead yet. He's just injured. Not even, and they're talking about gun control bans, getting rid of assault rifles. A bolt action 30-06 is not an assault rifle. Not at all. Is it powerful? Of course it is. It's a hunting rifle. But it's not an assault rifle. It's not taking a, you know, 20 or 30 round clip, a magazine. It's not a, well, you know what? I just had to say that, because they're always wrong, and all they do is reflect or reveal how little they know about firearms when calling for their abolition, because that's really what they're doing. This next little item, though, I cannot verify this. This is just what I've heard here, is that there were markings inside the rifle. There were still three unspent bullets, which had markings on the casings. I wish I could verify this. I just got to throw it out, but a bit of a disclaimer. Because before, well, I'm going to back up a bit. Before I read this morning, I was putting together some notes. And on my notes here, it says, what I am sure that the left is hoping for, praying for, well, no, they don't pray, hoping, is that this guy is not a tranny. Because we already got, you know, calling for no guns for trannies. Interestingly, something I'm not sure I fully support because of my advocacy for the Second Amendment. However, it is something that I considered as a possibility back when the Nashville shooter shot up that Christian school and killed the teachers and students. And, of course, more recently, with the Minnesota shooting by that tranny. The trannies are demon-possessed. They need an exorcism. They need deliverance. They are total and complete whack jobs. And, yeah, for mental reasons, they should not own a firearm. The red flag laws? All it really probably should require was, hey, you know, so-and-so is a tranny, and then go make sure he doesn't have any guns. But that's a mixed feeling that I have, because I hate the precedent it would set for identifying a certain contingent of society to not be able to own firearms. But if this turns out to be true, it may be the push over the edge. And all these left-wing Democrats that are saying, don't make trannies the excuse. Well, they are. They're screwed up. They're total whack jobs. And I would say, if you are somewhere, and you see a tranny, and they're obvious. Oh, come on. They are so obvious. And you see one display a gun, you should draw yours. Doesn't mean you get to fire. But you need to beat him to the draw. You do. I would risk the civil or possible criminal penalty, which there shouldn't be, if you see him with a gun, and all you have to say, well, hey, we've got all these murders by trannies, and here's another one walking around with a gun. I didn't shoot the guy. I didn't threaten the guy. I just got mine ready. And, Judge, I determine under the circumstance, I would rather come before a jury than be placed before the coroner. I have no further arguments. I think we're there. And I'm sort of glad we're there. I'm glad we're getting to a place where I was convinced we're going to get to, but I want to get there sooner rather than later while we still have an opportunity to win the battle. The farther down the road we go, the less ability there will be for us to defend ourselves. I mean, if I were on that train where the Ukrainian girl got stabbed by the black thug, while all the other blacks just stood around and just watched, didn't get up to help her, because it's part of the war on whites. Guy didn't go after the two black women, and the two black men didn't come to her rescue. Had I been on that train and I saw him pull out that knife and start hovering over her, I will tell you that sign of her cowering in fear, looking up at him as he's staring down at her with a knife, it will be the poster for the new civil rights movement. And it should be. But if I saw him pull out a knife, I'd be the next Daniel Penny, right? I'd toast that sucker to save her life. Absolutely, no problem. And it's not because she was an attractive blonde woman. Whether he's doing that to any other race. I don't have those issues. I've dated Hispanics. I've dated blacks. Did I marry a white girl? Yeah, I did. But I was an equal opportunity dater, so to speak. So that's not an issue with me. And there are many devout blacks listening to this program, and you guys are in a tough spot because the bulk of your ethnic or racial compadres don't think like you unless they are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And for those who are, they're some of the best preachers, some of the best singers. All of what God can do with anybody, white, black, brown, yellow, doesn't really matter. But I would have toasted the guy. And like Daniel Penny probably would have gotten arrested because it wasn't reasonable for me to think that a guy pulling out a knife and I see the blade towering over a girl who's scared of her life as he's getting ready to stab her was really in harm's way. More on that later. Okay, but the reaction of the left here, so this is good news that they got the gun and so forth, but the left, I mean, it's just unbelievable. This doctor, an anesthesiologist in Larkin Hospital, forgot what state it's even in, comes out, says F-bombs Charlie Kirk as the devil or evil and dangerous person and the absolute worst of the worst, a racist, homophobe, climate change denier, race baiter, rampant COVID-19, misinformation spreader, liar, divider, election denier, prominent conspiracy theorist. So, no, I feel no sorry at all. So, no sorrow at all for him. This is the reaction of a lot of the left, some of whom have finally have to have their conscience pricked. Finally. But this is where they are, many of them. They cannot stand anything remotely related to Trump, conservatism, Christianity. I don't think there are any Christian Democrats. I know that's actually the name of a party in Germany, I think, or the Christian Democrats, or used to be. I think it's an oxymoron. But if you take a look at the media, and then you look at, I don't care whether it's Obama, whether it's Newsom, whether it's Joey Cornpop Biden, you see, they're trying to cover themselves by saying this is horrid. Well, it is horrid. What they're saying is true about the ugliness and how horrible this is. It's true. But it's not 1 ounce of sincerity in anything they say. Yeah, they're calling for an end to the violence. Well, if they were calling for an end to the violence, then maybe they should call for an end to their own mouth. Because it's their hate-filled rhetoric that has spurred this. So you had that guy that got fired from MSNBC. I don't know what his name is. Matthew, is it Dowd or something like that? I've kind of forgotten. He said, well, you know, words prompt thoughts, and thoughts prompt action. And what he's talking about, he's trying to pin the blame like J.D. Prixter. Oh, that is his new name, J.B. Prixter. they're trying to blame Trump for this. Trump's the cause of this. J6 was the cause of this. That's what J.B. Eglon, the fat governor of Illinois, said. Believe me, well, no, I better not say that. You know who Eglon is. Anyway, that's what he's saying. So what he doesn't realize is he's partly correct. Words do produce thoughts. Thoughts produce actions. But the words that caused this didn't come from Trump. They come from Biden. They come from Obama. They come from Gavin Newsom. I mean, it was Biden who kept talking about taking Trump out behind the bar and beating the crap out of him. And a few other times, it's Newsom has said, speaking of Trump and the MAGA people, this is just last month, I'm going to punch the sons of a bitches in their mouth. He's trying to act tough, but he's a weenie. We know that. He's just a eunuch in a Brooks Brothers suit. And if he's really sincere about climate change, if there is such a thing, then he wouldn't buy the axle grease for his hair in 55-gallon drums. But that's another story. They aren't sincere. They are the ones that have made what the guy that got kicked off MSNBC say that is true. The words, the constant words, have produced thoughts. The thoughts have produced actions. They are responsible. They are not sorry for Charlie Kirk's death. What they're sorry for, I'll tell you what they're sorry for. They're sorry for what his execution will precipitate. That's right. They're sorry that this will shift more people to the right. They are saying this, they're trying to save face, but what they're really sorry about is the fact that this is going to move a lot of college students and younger people into conservative circles, seeing the absolute hypocrisy of the left. They're afraid of the political fallout. They're afraid of what's going to happen because of this in the midterm elections. They're only sorry for their derrieres. I mean, I will tell you, not knowing who the shooter is yet at the time of this, the left has to be hoping and praying that it is, well, a person's got to be whacked, for starters. But on top of being a God-hating person, which I'm sure he is, they've got to be hoping that in light of all of the black-on-white crime, that he's not black, and especially that he's not a tranny, and especially not a black tranny, of which there are a few. I think percentage-wise, I think there are fewer black trannies than white trannies as a percentage of the population, but that's just my speculation. And interesting that at the time that Charlie Kirk was shot, he was answering a question about tranny mass shootings. Now, I saw a video that, this alarms me. Like, I can't even believe. Look it up. It's out there. But just moments before Kirk is shot, there are two men off to his rear and right, with him facing out to his rear and on the right side, giving arms hand signals. One of them, it's something you'd copy right out of a third base coach signaling to the guy on first to steal second. Movements of the arm, pulling on the ear, the tweak of the nose. And then there's another guy, it's a little less obvious, a guy in a black shirt. The obvious guy is the one in the white shirt. Now, could this have been part of Kirk's security detail, giving a signal to somebody to do something? Or he's answering a question about trannies. He didn't bring it up. It's a question. Ask him. Somebody else brought it up. Is this guy giving a signal? Okay, here's your point. This is your time. Shoot and fire. Now, I suppose there's some risk that the shooter could hit the guy giving the hand signals, but he's about 4 or 5 feet to the right, maybe even a little bit more, maybe 6 or 7. Look it up. It's alarming. I don't know what it means. I'm sure the FBI has to have seen this. If they haven't, well, they have to. They just simply have to have. So we'll just have to see. I don't know. Well, so you would think that there would be some remorse by the left here about this, some remorse that they would at least, like when Trump was the first assassination attempt, there was a measure of feigned repentance on the left-wing networks. And maybe it was because they thought we might as well provide emotional support for Trump and his followers because this means the election. Everybody thought so. Even the Democratic apologists said, we're screwed. It's toast. It's over. You can't fake this. But now but he survives, and we get to the Charlie Kirk assassination. And then you move over to Congress. If you don't think that there's a divide, so they have a moment of silence. And I thought what was really, really interesting was that who was it? Hang on. I gotta find who said this. I want to get my quote right. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Lauren Boebert, they have this moment of silence, and she speaks up. She breaks the silence and says, silent prayers get silent results. I like that. I'll tell you, there's something I really can't stand in church. There are a few things. This is one of them. Prayer request. Unspoken request. Forget it. I don't know how to pray for an unspoken request. Speak it and we can pray for it. Have some guts. Or don't do it publicly. Go to some friends that you can share it with. Don't ask me to pray for something I don't know what the heck I'm praying for. God, I don't know, really know this person. I don't know what she's asking because she hasn't said it. I don't know how Well, forget it. I don't have any faith in that. Maybe it's too sensitive, but I like that. Silent prayers get silent results. And then Boebert says, you know what? We need to pray out loud. And the Democrats shouted back. They refused to pray. They refused to come together in prayer for Kirk's family, or wife and children who were at this event. As Melania Trump said, they won't have future experiences. They're just going to have old memories of what happened to their daddy. And then in Congress, Anna Paulina Luna, Republican from Florida, stood up, and after the Democrats were shouting that they weren't going to pray, they're not praying out loud. Why would you expect a Democrat prayer to be out loud? Why would you expect Democrats to pray? No, they don't. Anna Paulina Luna turned and shouted back at the Democrats and said, "You all caused this." Way to go, girl. They did cause it. They don't want to. If you're Obama and Biden and Newsom, you want to really see who's part and parcel of aiding and abetting the murder of Charlie Kirk, just take a trip down your hallway, turn into the bathroom, and look in the mirror, and you found the person. Well, I've got to wrap this up. As I said at the beginning here, it says in Genesis, the earth is filled with violence, and it's getting filled very fast. And my prayer here is, my hope is that the killing of Charlie Kirk will be sort of like the stoning of Stephen. The Democrats rage, the Pharisees rage, they fume, they come down on him, gnashing teeth. They can't stand the truth. They can't stand the conviction. They've got to kill the messenger, because we can't seem to kill the message, though we think we can at least kill the message coming from that messenger. But then it spreads. I have to keep in mind, to keep myself in check, that the word says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." But it also says in Hebrews something that I think we will see in the days ahead, that though he be dead, and actually the Hebrew writer is speaking of Adam, though he be dead, he still speaks. That though Charlie Kirk be dead, he still speak. And you know, I have to say, I was encouraged by a story coming out of nearby Phoenix here, that there was a memorial in some part of the city there, people crying, gripping American flags, some silent with their faces, others, they've got candles going and fresh flowers all arranged, pictures of Charlie Kirk. But they spoke of a young woman by the name of Riley, age 29, with her grandmother, Betty. Said they were swept up in a wave of emotion. There were voices rising together as they burst into a heartfelt rendition of Amazing Grace. I was touched by this. She said, quote, "We felt like breaking out singing, so we did." Betty said, "Such a wonderful young man that loved his country and gave his life for it. All we can do is hope and pray that this will be a turning point for America, and that his legacy can live on with that." Wow. And while I'm in my, you know, trying to come down from my rage, get a grip on it, keeping remembering, all right, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. These women, probably spiritually more mature than I, find a way to praise God even in the depths of this depraved killer's actions and the death of one of the greatest Americans of the 21st century. Don't know if anybody loved this. I don't know how you could love this country more. And he had to know this was a possibility. And everybody listening to me know that's going to be a possibility if you have the guts and the courage of Charlie Kirk to speak out, including myself. Because there is a destination that far exceeds our present location. And I think that's what these two women were singing and praising God about, was the fact that he did his job. He did it well with all he could possibly muster. Great is the reward for him in heaven. They seem to be, with amazing grace, they seem to have to relish in the point that Charlie Kirk got an early promotion. Sorry to see him go, but maybe he's not sorry he's gone. This is Robin Walter with Red Sky Radio and The Robin Walter Show. Sit tall on the saddle, America. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. See you next week.